Hello, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to the Justin Rogers Sports Podcast. Like always, I am your host, the one and only host on this show, Justin Rogers. And I just kind of wanted to start this podcast off by talking about the Warriors. I know they are a frequent topic of mine to discuss, but I mean, how could I not talk about them when they are the best team in the NBA and they're the most exciting team to watch and they're my favorite team? And like it says in the headline, on the site, it says, covering Bay Area sports. So, obviously, I know I talk about them a lot, but hey, I enjoy talking about them, and I hope you all enjoy listening to them. Last night, the Warriors were in action against the Hawks, where they took them down 105-100, and with that win, they find themselves on a 12-game winning streak now. They're, I believe, I saw it in an article earlier, and I believe that's their third longest streak in franchise history. I mean, obviously, everyone remembers the 24 straight wins to start the season last year, but 12 wins is pretty impressive. I mean, especially after the sluggish start they had to begin this season. It seems like the Warriors are finding themselves in full stride right now as they find themselves atop the NBA standings this season. Kevin Durant, I mean, been money for the Warriors all season. Earlier in the day, he captured Western Conference Player of the Week honors, where over this last week, he just absolutely dominated. He averaged 24.8 points per game, 8.3 rebounds per game, 6.3 assists, and probably the stat that I'm most impressed with is the fact that he averaged 2.75 blocks per game. That's almost 3 blocks per game, and I know people harp on Kevin Durant's defense sometimes, saying that, well, at times he's a great defender, at times he's not really there. But, I mean, with the 2.75 blocks, almost 3 blocks, that's pretty good indication that he has been there and he's been playing pretty reliable defense for the Warriors thus far this year. And I'll get to talking about the Warriors' defense so far in this season a little later in the podcast. Right now I kind of want to focus on the game itself and then what went down and how the Warriors have got to where they are so far. So in this last game, Kevin Durant pretty much continued his streak of dominance really since the start of the season for the Warriors. He had 25 points, had 14 rebounds, 3 assists on 8 of 16 shooting. I actually did not write down how many blocks he had, so I'm going to look that up real quick. I actually have the box score open as we speak, and he had 2 blocks in this last game, so he's been pretty consistent on the defensive end with attaining blocks. The only thing that kind of stands out for me from this last game with Kevin Durant, which is kind of unusual to me on this season, is the Warriors were -7 in his minutes. I mean, for those of you who are not really too advanced with basketball, you don't really know those deeper stats. Plus minus is the each player is given a rating of how they do on the court by saying kind of how the Warriors did or how their team respective team does while they're on the court. Like, say, all right, Kevin Durant, his plus minus was -7 for this last game. So that means when he was on the court, the Hawks scored 7 more points than the Warriors did, and so on and so forth. So other than that, I mean, it seems he had pretty great game, despite what the stats tell you with the plus-minus rating, which, I mean, I guess can be kind of skewed at times. But 25 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, and then the 2 blocks. Got to the line 8 times, made all 8 free throws. Another person, player, who had a pretty good game for the Warriors was Steph Curry. 25 points for him. 3 rebounds, 3 assists, only shot 6 of 17, so didn't really do too well shooting, but he was able to get 9 of 11, able to go 9 of 11 from the free throw line. So, and that's one thing I've been noticing with Steph Curry early on this year, is it seems as if he's getting to the line more frequently this year, which, I mean, it seems he's been doing that, he's been on that kind of trend for the last 2 seasons at least. So he's improving there every year. Yeah, starting from the 2013-2014 season, his shooting percentage from two-point range has just gone up and up each year. He in 2013-2014, he shot 50.9% from two-point range. 2014-2015, he shot 52.8%. 2015-2016, he shot 56.6%. And then 2016-2017, so far this season, he's shooting 58.5%, which I think is like second in the league or maybe even first in the league. I'm pretty sure it's first in the league for guards, but I think it's like second or third overall in the league, which is pretty ridiculous because as a guard, you're generally a lot smaller than the four and five positions on the other team. And those are the players who are more frequently shooting inside the restricted area, shooting from close range. So their shooting percentages are obviously generally higher than shooting guards or point guards or even small forwards. So that's pretty impressive for Steph Curry. I mean, it kind of blocks the notion that he's strictly a shooter. I mean, you just look at the stats. Yeah, obviously you can shoot the three ball. I mean, this year he's shooting 49% from three, but as you can tell, he's getting to the line and getting to the rim more frequently this year. I mean, he's being more aggressive and showing that he's more than just a jump shooter, which is kind of sounding repetitive at this point, but I'm just speaking facts over here. This year he's getting, like I said, at the line, this is the highest amount he's gotten to the line in his career. He's averaging getting to the line 5.3 times per game and 91% of those. So, I mean, obviously Steph's always been an elite free throw shooter since coming into the league, and he's definitely continued on that trend. Another news related to last night's game, Klay Thompson, he had 20 points on 8 of 18 shooting, 3 of 6 on threes, and for someone who struggled so much early in the year trying to find his shot, which was admittedly kind of scary, but I think as Warriors fans, we were all not as worried as some people may have been, just because we know how well Klay can shoot. It wasn't that big of a deal since it was this early in the season. I mean, let's say it was like halfway through the year and Klay Thompson is still shooting like 30-something percent from three and the Warriors are struggling as a whole, then maybe it's something to worry about. But, I mean, at this particular moment, he's shooting 36.5% from three, 47.7% overall, so it's not like he's not making any shots. It's just that he shot so bad. He was in such a bad slump at the beginning of the year that it's pretty hard to bring back up. I think over his last like 10 games or something like that, he's shooting over 40% or something from three, like close to 50%, I believe. Maybe not. Maybe more close to like 45 or 40%. But anyways, I think you all get what I'm trying to say is that Klay Thompson's shooting is coming around, and he's been playing really well overall, which I think is funny because early on in the year, we heard a lot of, oh, what? How is Klay Thompson going to get his shots? All these players are going to have to sacrifice shots, and Klay simply said, he's like, nah, I'm not sacrificing shit. I'm going to get my shots, and he really is. I read this article earlier. I wish I actually wrote down the exact stats that they had. I don't know if you've all noticed, but I'm pretty big on statistics. I really like numbers, as you've probably been able to tell throughout all these podcasts. But anyways, kind of lost my train of thought for a second over here. Oh yeah, anyways, about the article, it was talking about how the Warriors' stats between Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and even Kevin Durant are relatively the same as last year in terms of the amount of shots they average per game this year as opposed to last year. Maybe less than a shot of a difference, but overall they're still getting the same amount of shots, and they're all averaging over 20 points per game so far. So it doesn't really seem like this year they've really had to deal with too much sacrifice like the media portrayed, and this whole scenario of, oh, how are they going to get along and all that nonsense, and just really blowing everything out of proportion, saying that there's no way this new super teams, I say that in quotations because I think that's a strange term, but there's no way this super team would be able to gel together, and everything will go haywire before we know it, and next thing you know, the Warriors will be disbanded and all that jazz. I think is really blown out of proportion, as evident by what the numbers are telling us so far this year. Klay, he averaged over 22 points per game last year, and this year he's averaging close to 21. So, I mean, obviously he's scoring a little less, but is it really that big of a deal? I mean, I don't think so. The Warriors are still winning. They're still dominating teams. They're the best offensive team in the NBA, averaging over 117 points per game. So they're still scoring. There's only one basketball, like they've all been saying, but they're sharing it relatively well with the amount of games they've averaged over 30 assists. So I don't have any complaints so far. I don't get caught up in all that blown out of proportion style of media. I'm pretty confident that the Warriors are only going to continue to get better, which is actually pretty scary. One last thing I wanted to mention about Klay Thompson is I really like his personality as an athlete. I think Klay is just like so out there that it's just awesome. He really doesn't care. Me and all my friends, we've always joked throughout the years that Klay Thompson just has absolutely no emotion, and he's just kind of like whatever about everything. He's just always there, and we've always joked around about like whenever he has shown emotion, it's just kind of like, what is this? Like what? Like it looks weird seeing Klay Thompson excited about something. But I just wanted to touch on that because over the last few games or whatever, Klay has been in the media for the most random things. Like after one game the other night, he was actually seen in post game drinking a Coors Light just from the bottle, just like it was nothing, just like he was casually sipping on a beer, which I think is awesome because I don't know, Klay is just so out there. It's just like he doesn't really care about anything. He's just there. He kind of likes staying out of the limelight. He's just himself, which is actually pretty cool from an athlete. And then last night after the game, he was talking about how he makes the best paper airplanes on the West Coast, and ended his interview session by throwing the paper airplane he was making during the interview at the camera and saying that he was out. And I don't know about you all, but I think that's one of the more creative and legendary ways to exit an interview, if I'm not mistaken. So I give Klay 10 out of 10 from that performance, and Klay 10 out of 10 overall with his interactions with the media. Although maybe the substance he's talking about is kind of boring because Klay's not the most exciting dude, but his antics are definitely 10 out of 10, definitely interesting. So enough about Klay Thompson. I know the man does not like being part of the spotlight, and so therefore I am going to move on from talking from him in this episode of my podcast. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just kind of talking at this point. But next I wanted to talk about a very important piece of the Warriors the last couple of seasons, and that is Andre Iguodala coming off the bench, one of the best sixth men in the entire league. Can't really think of any off the top of my head that's better than him. Not in terms of numbers, because obviously you're going to have a sixth man that will post better points per game, better rebounds, so on and so forth, and have those more visible stats. But it's what Andre Iguodala does that doesn't quite appear on the stat sheet that really separates him from other sixth men in the league and being a viable go-to option off the bench, just in terms of his intelligence and what he ultimately provides for the Warriors, both on the offensive end and on the defensive end. Like in this last night's game, he actually did really well scoring and doing all those things that come out in the box score. Like he scored 12 points, had 5 rebounds, 5 assists. But the stat that really stands out to me, again, just is he was plus 18 and plus or minus. So the Warriors scored 18 more points than the Hawks. Oh, wow. Sorry, I blanked out on their team name for a second. Against the Hawks, yeah, he scored 18 more points than the Hawks did when he was out on the court. And just his overall awareness is second to none in the league. I'm really glad the Warriors were able to bring him back. Out of all the bench players that I wanted the Warriors to bring back, because after signing Durant, I think we all knew that the team was going to be vastly different than last year's team that lost in the NBA Finals. But two pieces that I was really happy they brought back were Andre Iguodala, of course, and Sean Livingston. And so far they've done pretty well during this season so far. I know it's still early, and I know their stats may be down just because of who the Warriors have in their lineups now, but Andre Iguodala, man, he's just been incredible, and even though he's getting up there in age, he still brings everything he has, and he's one of the more intelligent minds in all of basketball, and I'm a huge fan of Iguodala. I was stoked when they got him, and I'm more than excited now that he's still with the Warriors, and I know his contract is running up relatively soon, either next year or the year after, and I hope they're able to bring him back. Who knows if they will, but as of now, I'm really happy with what he's provided this Warriors team, and he's really been the gel that has brought this team together. So yeah, Andre Iguodala, huge part for the Warriors' success, even if it may not always show in the box score, but, I mean, in this last game it certainly did. And then, how could I talk about the Warriors without, of course, talking about the heartbeat of the team? Draymond Green did not shoot well at all, had a horrible shooting night, had 4 points off 2 of 9 shooting, but it's what else he did. He only had, like, 3 rebounds as well, but he managed to have 7 assists, and he had 4 block shots, including 2 very critical blocks at the end of the game. One with, I believe, like 45 seconds left around there, when Dennis Schroeder, the guard for the Hawks, who had 24 points on 10 of 20 shooting in the game, he was driving to the basket, and he initially beat Steph pretty bad, just absolutely smoked him, and it looked like he's going to get a layup, but Draymond hustled, and he provided that excellent help defense, and he, not only did he block the crap out of him, the ball ended up touching Schroeder, and it went out of bounds to the Warriors, so not only did Schroeder get blocked, it was just the ultimate fail on his behalf, just a big slap in the face. So that was huge. That obviously fired Draymond Green up. And then former Warrior Kent Bazemore, who in his time with the Warriors was more known for his bench celebrations rather than a starting shooting guard for the Hawks, he had a pretty bad night in his return to Oracle. He went 4-15 shooting from the floor and had only 8 points. But no miss was bigger for him than with, I want to say, like 10 seconds left in the game. Not too long after Schroeder's shot, Bazemore again tried getting to the basket for the Hawks at an attempt to tie the game or bring the Hawks within one or something close to that, something of that nature. But Draymond again met him at the rim and just totally swatted him. And just like Schroeder, the ball went off of Bazemore's foot, and the Warriors retained possession and ultimately won the game a few seconds later. And it just goes to show that even if the Warriors don't have the best man-to-man defense as of yet, they still have that excellent help defense. And I know people have wanted to talk about their lack of a rim protector, and that's obviously true. Without Bogut, they don't really have much of a rim protector, but like I said, that help defense is what's making up for it. That athleticism and that length is ultimately helping the Warriors. And I've alluded to the Warriors' defense in prior podcasts, but yeah, it's just really coming full circle now. Everything's coming into this stride. This was their fourth game of the year with double-digit blocks. They had 10 blocks in the game. Obviously, those two very crucial blocks at the end of the game. And not only that, but they're holding opponents to 43.2% shooting from the court, which is good for third in the NBA. They're only allowing opponents to make 58.5% of shots in the restricted area, which is, again, right in front of the basket. That's good for eighth in the league. Their defensive rating is 101.5. Defensive rating is the amount of points allowed per 100 possessions. They're allowing 101.5, which is good for eighth in the league. Draymond Green in particular, he's allowing 0.722 points per possession, which is the second fewest in the league. And he's contesting 15.2 shots per game, which is second to Robin Lopez from the Bulls, who has 16.6 shots contested per game. And he has the highest RPM in the league, real plus minus, at 3.95. And what do you know? The person who is second behind him is Andrew Bogut with 3.69. So it just goes to show how dominant Draymond Green has been on the defensive end, and he's really making a case to become defensive player of the year for this season. I know that, of course, the Warriors players and Steve Kerr is advocating for it, but the media is becoming more and more on board with that notion so far this year. It's certainly hard to top what Draymond Green does for the Golden State Warriors. He's the reason why they're able to really improve on their defense so far this year. And they're really coming into their own. And, I mean, hey, eighth overall in defense, that's pretty close to what they were last year. They were in the top 10, and for a while they were towards the bottom of the league this year. So everything's coming around, and it will continue to do so. The more and more these players play with each other, the more comfortable they're going to be, the more they're going to know where exactly they're going to be on the court, and the more successful they will be ultimately. That's it for this podcast. Kind of went a little long. I actually didn't expect to go that long. I'm going to be recording sometime later this week again, maybe even sometime tonight. I know I have to do a podcast about the Niners and the NFL. I want to talk about that and maybe the upcoming NFL draft. So be on the lookout for that. Of course, I'll talk about Warriors again relatively soon. I'll talk about some more Sharks too. I didn't have a chance to during this podcast. They haven't played since last Saturday, I believe. And of course, I'll talk about more MLB offseason and things of that nature in future podcasts. We, especially with the winter meetings, we should be getting some really big news, at least I assume. There's always at least one big news story in the MLB when it comes to winter meetings. Anyways, that's it. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Be on the lookout for more. In the meantime, I hope you all have a good rest of your week, and I will talk to you all later. Bye.